Hallelujah. We get to live today from a place of victory. You know, and it's very important that we understand that. That it's not a victory in the Lord is not something that we can achieve. But it's something that we enter into by faith. In other words, we receive the promise of the Lord. All right, by faith in what he has accomplished for us. And not on what we can accomplish for him. As a matter of fact, you can accomplish nothing for him without him. Amen. So we're not achieving righteousness. We're not achieving right salvation. We're not achieving sanctification. Right? We're not achieving holiness. He is all that. He makes us holy. He makes us righteous. He empowers us to live a life that is holy. Amen. And so we need to live from the finished work, all right, of the Lord. When he said it is finished, amen, the price for sin had been paid in full. Amen? And so now the door, amen, to freedom is open and available to all who will repent, turn from their ways, and turn to Jesus. Amen? They can enter in to the forgiveness, the mercy, the grace of God. Amen? Be set free. Amen? And know what it is to have a relationship with a living God to such a degree that we have a friendship with him. And he is the joy of our life. He is the strength of our life. He is our hope. Amen. And so we need to live from the place of having been set free. Amen. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. You have been set free from the power of sin. And now today we enforce that victory that has already been accomplished for us in Jesus' name. That's why the Lord said, I've given you power. Amen. And I've given you exousia and authority. Why did he do that? So that we would enforce on earth what he has already accomplished for us. So we'll enforce that in our own lives by no longer yielding to temptation, no longer yielding to sin, but having died to sin. Amen. I consider myself dead indeed to sin, but what? Alive unto God in Christ Jesus. I am a new creation. Amen. Pharaoh and his armies have been cut off. Amen. The enemy is always trying to get you to believe that somehow you're not free. The door is open and we sit there in bondage and God says, walk through the door. It's open. I didn't know that. And that's the problem is people don't understand the freedom that's available to them in Christ. They need to hear the message of the good news, the gospel, that Jesus Christ came, amen, to deliver the captives. Amen. To set the captives free. Hallelujah. And whomsoever the Son sets free, free. Amen. Walk in your freedom. Maintain your freedom. Stand fast in the liberty. Galatians 5, right? Wherewith Christ has made you free. Amen. It's what we believe that will determine what we receive. And what we receive will determine how we live our lives. And so the enemy uses lies, propaganda. Misinformation, oh, that's a big one today. Yeah, well, that's the devil. He's full of misinformation, isn't he? Every time he speaks a lie. And if he does speak something truthful, it's laced with a lie to hook people. Amen. So we need to understand what the Lord did for us. What has been accomplished for us. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life, right? And Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. Amen? If we walk in the Spirit, we will not gratify the sinful nature. Amen? Now, if you are born again, if Christ is in you, amen, then you are actually in the Spirit in the sense that he is in you. All right? But then we need to walk in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And we do so by relying upon the grace that God provides for us as we call upon Him. As we come to Him in prayer and say, Father, I need help. I need strength. I need mercy. I need grace for today. I need you to help me. Amen. As we humble ourselves and recognize our weakness, we become aware of our weakness. Then we're in a position to receive His grace that will strengthen us and enable us to live a holy life in a world that's full of sin and devils. Amen. We're to shine like lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, as the Bible says. Amen. We're living in that, aren't we? I used to be part of it, but I've been set free from that. I'm no longer a slave to sin. Amen?
Amen.
I'm a child of God today through the new birth. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus did for us. He was saying, listen, I'm going away. I'm going to become your sacrifice. I'm going to pay the price that you deserve to pay. Because I love you. And I want you to be with me. Not only that, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions or rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. But He's going to what? He went back to the Father's house to prepare a place, a dwelling place for who? Us, His people, the bride of Christ, those who have been born of the Spirit of life in Christ, born again. Amen. We are now the children of God, but we're also the bride of the Lord. Amen. And so communion is about exchanging vows in the sense that I am renewing my vows to the Lord. I am taking the cup, and the cup represented marital wine. It was the third cup, and it was saying, Lord, by taking, receiving this cup, I am saying that I will now be betrothed to you. I'm saying yes to the marriage arrangement. Are you hearing me? That I will give myself to you. I will commit myself to you as a faithful bride. I will not cheat on you. I will not have any other gods before you. I will keep myself until the day that you return from the Father's house to receive me unto yourself. Come on. Because He's coming. Amen. And He's going to catch away the prepared ones. The bride is going to be captured and taken with Him and taken into the bridal chamber for the consummation of the marriage and the great marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus Christ, our heavenly bridegroom, amen, purchased His bride, amen, with His own blood. We were bought with the blood of Jesus. And He's saying, I'm going to pay the price for your sin and I'm going to redeem you. Amen. I'm going to take you out of the clutches of hell and out of the clutches of Satan that you are slave to. He broke the power of sin. He broke the power of Satan. Hallelujah. And He liberates His people so that now we can live a life of holiness unto Him because we are free from the power of sin. And you and I need to say yes to this covenant and say, yes, Lord, I receive you. I will live my life for you. Everything you have is mine now. Everything I have is yours now. Amen. We're in covenant. When you say, yes, I do. Amen. It's no longer a me thing. It's a we thing. Come on. And so we're saying, Lord, it's a we thing. It's you and I together now. Amen. I'm not living an independent life from you. Hallelujah. And when you're in a covenant, amen, it means that you're in agreement, in a contract. And this is a binding contract because it was sealed in the blood of Christ. There's no higher cost, no higher price that was paid than the blood of Jesus. And it cost Him dearly. He suffered on our behalf. He paid in full for all of Adam's transgression and brought us into this liberty so we can now live an abundant life, a full life. Hallelujah. So we can actually reign in life with Christ. That's what He did. We can reign in life with the Lord. Hallelujah. Because He's the King of Kings. He's the overcomer. Yep. We can reign in life through Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying this message right now. Hallelujah. So let's, everybody, did everybody get a cup? Hallelujah. If you are born again today, amen. If you have made peace with God, you've forgiven other people of their trespasses, just take a moment to bow our heads and ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything I need to confess right now? Is there anything that I need to get right now? Is there anybody I need to forgive right now? And I want you right from your own heart to take that moment to say, Lord, please forgive me. If there's any sin in my life, blot out every transgression and purify my heart and make me holy for you. Now take a moment. Is there anyone that you need to forgive? Even as God forgave you, so you must also forgive one another. Take a moment right now just to say, Holy Spirit, please reveal to me if I'm harboring any unforgiveness, if I'm holding a grudge towards anyone, Lord, I ask you right now to reveal that to me. And as an act of obedience right now, I want you to release that person. I want you to speak to them. And as an act of faith, say, in Jesus' name, I forgive you. I release you. You owe me nothing. You see, Jesus said, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. I think it's a good idea to let it go. Amen. Just let it go. Speak to that person. Say, I let you go. I release you. You're free to go. It's not because they deserve it. We don't deserve the mercy of God. We don't deserve what Jesus did. But He's saying, listen, I paid it for you. I paid in blood. I suffered for you. So we can let people go. We can forgive others that trespass against us. So would you take that moment right now? If there's anybody, say, Holy Spirit, is there anybody else that I need to release right now? And whenever possible, you go and reconcile with a brother or a sister. You see, because of this reason, many are sick. It can bring sickness on your body. Amen. And even cause premature death. And unforgiveness to the soul is like cancer to the body. You've got to let people go, or it's going to eat you up. Have you let them go? Have you released them? Have you asked the Lord for the grace to do that? Maybe you're struggling with it. Just say, Lord, I need the grace from my heart to let that person go. Lord, I thank you that I'm free from all men. I'm free from all offense. I refuse to pick it up again. I lay it down at the cross. And I release all those who have offended me. They're free to go. They owe me nothing. In Jesus' name, they are forgiven. Just tell that person, in Jesus' name, you are forgiven. And say, thank you, Lord, that I am forgiven. Hallelujah. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down willingly for my sheep. It was for this reason that He came, to bear witness to the truth and to become our sacrifice. He was broken for our healing, and today healing is available to you. would you receive it? By faith in the finished work of Jesus today, there's healing for your mind. There's healing for your body. Every part of you. The Lord is able to make all grace abound towards you. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your broken body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take together. Thank you, Lord. Make us whole, Lord. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Again, we lift the cup that we are agreeing to the contract, to the covenant, that we belong to Jesus now and he belongs to us. That we will give ourselves fully to him now, to have no other lovers. We forsake the world and the things of this world, that we may give ourselves fully to Jesus and live out his purposes for us in this world as a grateful bride, as we anticipate, look forward with expectation to the coming of our Messiah, Jesus Christ, the bridegroom. And so, Lord, we say yes. We receive this. Father, make us one. One in the Messiah, one in the olive tree. One in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, Jesus, be healed in Jesus' name. Be delivered in Jesus' name. Be free in Jesus' name. Lord, break every chain. Loose every captive in Jesus' name. Lord, burn in our hearts again. Give us a holy desire, a holy passion for your name. We love you, Jesus. We'll have eyes for you only. Hallelujah. He's coming. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you for your sweet spirit here, Lord. Spirit of the living God, Holy Spirit. Do that work in each one of us, Lord, that only you can do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. You see, our faith needs to be grounded in the truth. If we are grounded in the truth, and what is authentic, what is real, then we're no longer controlled by the lies of the enemy. Because the enemy only has the lies now to work with, the deception. He tries to get us to believe the lie. But if we know the truth, we can walk in freedom. And we maintain that freedom as we abide in the truth, abide in the Word of God, abide in Him, hallelujah, in His Spirit. And then we can enforce, as we submit ourselves to God, we can enforce the victory. Amen. We can resist the devil and he will flee. from us. Thank you. I want to read from Exodus chapter 19 this morning, verse 3. And you can turn the music down a little bit, sweetie. I appreciate it. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, verse 4, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." What did he say? He said Israel would become a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. But there was a condition on this. If you look back at verse 5, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Now, did that happen? No. Have we accomplished this? No. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God gave conditional covenants, amen, that if they were to do certain things, they would be blessed. But also they would come under a curse if they refused to do so. And so by the law we become aware, amen, of the fact that we have sinned, we have fallen short of God's glory, we have failed the Lord to obey Him perfectly. So the law is holy and the law is good, amen, but the law cannot save, amen, and the law cannot make one holy, because holiness is a gift from God. It's not something that mankind can accomplish. We can simply obey the Lord and submit to His Spirit, and then we can do what's right in our bodies externally, amen, and live a holy life externally, amen. But the problem is the heart of man has to be changed. Because even though some people outwardly appear to be holy, if their heart is not changed, then in God's sight, they're unholy and disqualified for His presence. No matter how good they do and how many wonderful works they do, amen, unless the heart is changed, unless we are made holy by the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be accepted. None of our works are acceptable to God except the works that are done by faith in the Lord, in obedience to His Spirit. Today, we live by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. And that Spirit sets me free from the law of sin and death. You see, the law is holy, the law is good, and the law is, all right, it's alive, but we died to it in Christ. We're in a new covenant. All right? In the new covenant, we receive the Spirit of Christ. Amen. And then He, the Spirit of God, writes that law on our hearts. And we live according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ and not according to the letter. There are some people that are trying to live according to the letter of the law and to live an external holiness and a holy life to the point where they feel like, well, maybe I'm holy enough to be received by God by all the things that I'm doing, or but based upon how well I'm doing at the time. So under the law, as long as you're doing everything perfectly and doing everything good, amen, you can feel good about yourself. But as soon as you transgress the law, as soon as you make a mistake, you fail, now you're back under condemnation again. Why? Because the law is there to remind us that we're not holy and we can't live holy enough. So Jesus says, "I'll take care of it for you. I'll fulfill the requirements of that law." Amen? On your behalf. Amen? And then I'll set you free from the power of sin, and I'll put my Spirit in you. Amen? And I'll give you a new heart. With that new heart comes a new desire. I now want to live for God. I now want to please the Lord. Amen? I don't want to sin because it grieves the heart of the one I love who lives in me. Amen? And the Spirit of God convicts me when I get out of line. Praise God. Amen? If you're a son, you're going to be disciplined by the Lord. So you're not condemned with the world. You see, knowing this can liberate you. Because we can be confused under trying to live a double life, partially under law and partially in grace. Either you live under grace or you live under law. You can't live both. The law you obey now is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, that inward witness of the Spirit that says you are a child of God, amen. And because we belong to the Father, we want to do what pleases our Father, amen. Why? Because of the new heart we have that now wants to live for God. And when we mess up, we thank God that we have an advocate with the Father, amen. We can immediately turn to our advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, our defense attorney, and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And He forgives us, amen. He says, now, next time, do better. You learn how to walk. I know we'd love our little babies when they come out just to be perfect little darlings. And aren't they a perfect little darling? And but boy, after a little while you say, what happened to the perfect little darling? That old sin nature starts to rear up its ugly head. And we say, yeah, even the little kids can be pretty mean to each other. Amen. If you spend any time in a nursery, you know what I'm talking about. They're clocking each other with toys and stealing each other's toys. And, you know, yeah. Why? Because the heart of man is desperately wicked. That's just the way we were born in Adam. Amen. We're born separated in that sense. And the only way we can be made right is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We have to be cut off from the Adamic nature. There has to be a circumcision of the heart. There has to be a separation from the old so we can walk in the new. Amen. And so we have to say no to the old and yes to the new. We're either going to live in law or live in grace, but you can't live in both or you'll be double-minded and unstable in all of your ways. When do I achieve holiness? You don't. Jesus achieved it for you. You walk in holiness. You walk in the truth. You walk by faith in the promise of God that the sin problem's been dealt with. It's been broken in your life. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. And in verse 4, he said, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians. That was our redemption. See, this is a type, isn't it, of Christ in the cross, how he brought them out of Egypt by the blood, amen, of the sacrifice lamb. Jesus Christ being our sacrifice. And we're brought out, we're set free from bondage in Egypt by the blood of Christ, amen. And then he said, and how I bore you on eagle's wings. I carried you. You didn't carry yourself. I set you free. I paid the price for that. Amen. I liberated you from captivity and I give you the ability, amen, to walk free. Lest we should boast. Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Hallelujah. You need, it's important, guys. Listen. This is part two, by the way, is living from victory, part two. That we understand that Satan is a defeated foe. Oh, but you look what's happened in the world. Look, yeah, it's because people don't know the truth. That man lives so dysfunctional and so wicked. And it's through the knowledge of the truth and the knowledge of the gospel and what Christ has accomplished for people and that there's freedom. And hallelujah, if they would walk and they would come to Christ, amen, and repent and turn to Him, hallelujah, He will set them free also from the power of sin and the power of Satan. He will liberate them from the bondage of the world, Egypt. And He will take them out on wings as eagles. Remember, eagles soar where serpents cannot touch it. They build their nests high above, right? The serpent line. So there's no chance, amen, that the eagle is going to get bitten by the serpent. They build their nest, amen, high above the snake line, they call it. Hallelujah. And when we rise up with Christ, when we are born again, we are seated together in heavenly places. Come on, in Christ Jesus. So we're living from a place of victory over the world already. And through the renewing of our minds, coming to a knowledge of the truth, hallelujah, my mind is starting to agree with what's happened in my spirit, amen, and I become united in the truth. I become a person of integrity. What I think, what I speak, what I do agrees. Is that making sense? Because my mind is conflicted, amen, from Adam and from all the things that I'd learned along the way. Come on. So the door to freedom is open. But if I'm not aware of that, I'll continue to sit in bondage. If I'm listening to the wrong voice, you'll never overcome this. You can't beat that habit. You can't overcome that addiction. Whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. I have to enforce the victory in my life by saying no. I don't have to anymore. I'm no longer a slave to sin. But the enemy is a liar and a thief. And he comes along and says, you're just too stuck in this thing. You're too hung up on this thing. You just can't. Well, that's true. You can't. But I know someone who can. Yep. Amen. And what he'll do is he will give me the grace to enforce that victory in my own life. I'm speaking from experience. Amen. How about you? You know the freedom of the Lord. You know how God can set you free. It could be a bunch of things. It could be drugs. It could be pornography. It could be just old mindsets, amen, of inferiority and just not measuring up or whatever it might be. God wants us to walk in the freedom that Christ has purchased for us and no longer be entangled in the yoke of bondage. You see, when we disconnect from the Lord, then we start to take upon ourselves the responsibility of being a good person. And you'll find very soon, amen, that you're actually not that good of a person without Jesus. Somebody say amen, right? Amen. Keeping it real here. He makes us good. He keeps us good. Amen. As long as we walk with Him and rely upon His grace, we can overcome that other part of us, that sin nature, that Adamic nature, that has actually already been, all right, wounded to the degree that it cannot rule us anymore. Except that if we're listening to the wrong voice that says you can't, when God says you can, you can do all things through Christ, who strengthens you. Now, I want to get into something here. The power of the enemy, okay, was broken for us at the cross. Amen? Do you believe that? And the reason why he's getting away with what he's getting away with is because people are blind to the truth. The God of this world, the enemy, has blinded the eyes of people. So that's why they do crazy things. That's why we've done crazy things as well. Amen? In our own ignorance, because we didn't know any better at that time because of the ignorance. All right? But God wants us to come into a knowledge of the truth. He wants the light of the gospel to shine into our hearts, amen, to give us an understanding of what is true. Once you know what is true, amen, you're not going to fall for the lie. Somebody came up to you today and gave you a wooden nickel and say, hey, try this in the slot machine, or the vending machine, should I say. Stay away from those slot machines. Well, you're not going to try to put that, if you had any sense, you wouldn't try to put that wooden nickel in that vending machine, would you? Because you know that's a fake. That's not real. But if you've always been taught from a child on up that that is legitimate currency, right? You're just going to be duped by that lie. That's how come these cults do so well. They isolate people. They separate them from everything else and any other influences except what they're trying to tell them or teach them or control them by. Even nations that are like these huge cults like North Korea, amen? They're just, it's a huge cult. And so they try to keep people isolated from knowing what is actually happening outside of that country. So they can control the minds of people. That's how Satan operates. He wants to keep people from knowing what is true so he can keep them in bondage. But the power of the enemy has been broken for us at the cross. You see, if you understand, if you believe that, you'll have confidence in coming against and enforcing the enemy of your soul. He doesn't want you to believe that. See, that's what fasting does. Fasting helps get us out of the way and get our mind kind of out of the way. Are you hearing me? The conflict. God has plenty of power, but we can be a hindrance to the flow of God's Spirit in our own minds. So fasting and prayer is a good way to get into a place where you're really in a zone of clarity, of distinction of His voice, knowing His voice, amen, and so that you can also be a vessel that's unhindered by your own understanding. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus do? He disarmed His demonic hordes and stripped them of the authority they had over Adam's race. He disarmed Satan and all his demonic hordes and stripped them of the authority they had over Adam's race. How many have read this before? Luke 11:21. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. So up until that time, until the time that Jesus came on the scene, Satan was like that strong man. He was a bully, fully armed, and he was uncontested. He had liberty with people to do what he wanted. But that all changed when Jesus showed up. Jesus overcame him. He took all his armor from him and divided his spoils. He is the stronger. But that all changed. Amen? Jesus came to set every captive free. Jesus not only defeated Satan on her behalf, but he disarmed him. So for those of us who are in Christ, again, Satan no longer has legal authority over us. Colossians 2:15, having disarmed principalities and powers, past tense. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, in the cross. New Living Translation says it this way. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. We talked about it last week, how the law had condemned us. Amen? And we'd fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus fulfilled that. It took it away. Amen? He didn't. The law is good. The law is holy. But in Christ, we are separated. In a new covenant, we're sanctified unto Him. Amen? And now we live by a new rule. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ, who keeps us free from the law of sin and death. You can't live under law and under grace. You have to choose. I'm going to live in the grace of God. I'm going to rely upon the power of God. It's by His ability I can do what I'm called to do. I don't have it in myself, but He has the strength that I need to do what I'm called to do. Amen. Under the law, it was all up to you. It was in your strength. It was in your ability. And some people were better at it than others, but they all fell short. You see, some people can compare themselves and say, well, I'm glad I'm not like Joe over there. Look at all the good things I do. Amen. Until God peels away the facade and He shines a light into their heart and He begins to show all the cockroaches that are there. And then he realizes, too, that you know, you're not as righteous as you thought you were. When it comes to God, none of us are righteous. Amen? The only way we can be righteous is in Christ, who is our righteousness. We are clothed in Him. Amen? And that's why we can come with confidence before the throne of grace. It's not based upon my righteousness, but upon His. The You see, the enemy wants to get in your head even when you pray and say, well, you've been a bad boy today. You haven't done enough good today. Or, you know, he tried to get in there. Why? Because he's after your faith. After your faith. Amen? He's trying to condemn you. Yeah, he'll even bring up stuff that you did. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You go to prayer and all of a sudden these thoughts start coming on you. Stuff that happened 20 years ago that you'd repented 100 times from. And the first time God forgave you. He forgave you the first time and you're back 99 times again trying to get it, make sure, just in case God didn't hear me the first time. Instead of trusting in God's promise, amen, we can sometimes put that on our feeling. How do I feel today? Do you feel saved today? I'm not putting my faith in me. I'm putting my faith in Jesus and His promise. Jesus always speaks the truth. Every promise of God is yea and amen. What does it say? Jesus, in verse 15, He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by His victory over them on the cross. So the power of Satan is broken, and the power of sin is broken in the believer's life. Romans 6:13, it says, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members, or your body, right, as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So what is he saying? Don't do it. Don't yield to temptation. Don't listen to that other voice. You don't have to. That power has been broken, amen, at the cross. And in Christ, you are a free man. Enforce that freedom in your life by simply not yielding to that voice. Instead, committing yourself each day to God. Living unto Him. Do you know, eagles are not intimidated. The serpents. They're not intimidated by serpents. Ever see a bird take out a snake? They'll get down there, man. They'll mess that snake up. Snakes are afraid of eagles. In Christ, Isaiah 40, it says that we will be as the eagles. Amen? Soar on wings as eagles. As we wait upon the Lord, we will soar with Him. He takes us above. Amen? And we see things from God's perspective, heaven's perspective. Hallelujah. Amen? And guess what? The serpent is afraid of those who know who they are in Christ. Amen. If he's got an audience, if he's got somebody he can beat around and bully on and pick on, he's going to keep heaping it on. Amen? But if he comes upon somebody that is not going to put up with that, come on, he's going to move along. That's why we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, amen? And we need to live clean so we're not giving permission to the enemy in any area of our life. And we do that by the grace of God He makes available to us in Christ as we call upon Him for help. Strengthen me, Lord. Strengthen me in my weakness. Hallelujah. I want to finish with this. In Christ, there's complete deliverance. Would you agree? Amen. Jesus said this in John 8:34. Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And then I thought, when I first read that, I was a new Christian. I'm thinking, oh boy, I just sinned the other day, or I sinned early in the day, or I had this bad thought or whatever. And I'm like, so I must be a slave to sin. And yet I was a new creation. I had been born again, and I had a heart that loved God and wanted to please God. And when I read that, I'm thinking, oh, but let's read the rest of it. Verse 35, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Uh-oh. So what is he doing? He's making a distinction between a slave and a son. Under Adam, we're slaves. In Christ, we're sons. Come on. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old is gone, new has come. So we're sons in the new covenant. All right? And therefore, that's what he means when he said in verse 36, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. How about sin? I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. You see, natural man is incapable of liberating himself from the power of sin and Satan. Right? Because by nature, we are slaves, amen, under Adam. And that's why in Adam all die, but in Christ all shall be made alive again. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. In Christ Jesus. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. The cross says, amen, dead to sin, dead to the world, dead to Satan. Amen? But alive unto God. Amen. On the third day, Jesus rose from the grave. Amen. When we come into life, hallelujah, we die at the cross with Him. Amen. And we're raised together with Him and seated in heavenly places. There is a resurrection. Amen. An awakening in our spirit. Hallelujah. And we become sons. Amen. Who have access now to the Father's throne of grace. Amen. Not based upon our righteousness, but based upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Christ qualifies me to be in the presence, amen, of my Father. So now I can come with boldness or confidence in prayer. Because I'm a son. And He's placed His Spirit in my heart. Crying out, what? Abba, Father.